tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin! Boys
and girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vampire Diaries Season 6, Episode 15, The Downward Spiral. I'm your host, Roxy Stryer, and you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, alongside Tiana Hobson, who's usually our chat mistress. Still, you get the name.
Thank you. I'm not tonight, though. I'm really sad about it.
No, you are always in our hearts, chat mistress.
Thanks. I feel so naked without all the people talking to me right now, without all my friends in the chat role.
You look sexy
in
the leopard.
Oh, thank you.
And of course, Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at KDEE Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell.
See, which town? Did you tell them where they can find you if they're not in the chat role?
Oh, if you're not in the chat role, which I'm not either. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
If you are in the chat role, you're finding Grey's Anatomy right now. So you're a little confused. You guys can always find us at AfterBuzz TV. Make sure you're using the hashtag ABTVTVD. That's where you can talk to us. And of course, on YouTube, on iTunes, and on SoundCloud. We love hearing what you guys have to say. Make sure you give us that thumbs up, that 5 stars, and leave a comment. We read everything. We respond to you guys. You're the absolute best. So keep up the conversation, especially because we just got back from hiatus, which was miserable.
It was.
I hate not being on this show. I know it's been 6 years long, so it doesn't have that intensity of a brand new show anymore. But for me, it's still absolutely, without a doubt, one of my favorite shows on television.
Yeah, it's exciting watching these episodes, so it's terrible being on a break.
They find new storylines every time, and boy...
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they find new storylines? Yeah. Are they repeating old storylines, just with a slightly different twist?
All right, what happened tonight is a complete different twist. This is not a slight different twist. We are seeing characters, yes, they are coming back to their season one selves, but... I mean, even if you're not going to call it new, it hasn't been like that in 5 years. That's a new twist.
But the definition of new is that, like, it was the first time it happened.
Yeah, well, it feels like that to me.
This is, like, retro. It's vintage. That's what it is. This is vintage.
Pull your chat mistress card.
No, I feel like we don't have it here, so I can't confirm nor deny this, but I feel like people in the chat role agree with me right now.
Somebody tweeted me and told me that they think that this whole storyline of people turning it off is just overused.
It is.
And I think it is, but I'm intrigued with the two of them together being turned off.
I'm, first of all, really intrigued, and second of all, I have to call myself out for a second because... It was a little embarrassing what I had to ask you guys. And this is what I was wondering. How can everybody, every vampire, turn off their humanity? I mean, is it an actual switch? Like, I'm thinking it's somewhere weird on your body and they made fun
of me. Roxy thinks that there's like a switch, like you go in through your ear and somewhere if you... put your finger up there high enough, you can turn off like a light switch to turn off your humanity.
I thought you were asking me if it was like on the outside of the body. I was like, if that was the case, then they'd be like, oh, get her.
No,
like, and turn it off.
I just thought it was somewhere because it's like, how does everybody have the mental capacity to do this? I feel like not everybody in the world who are humans have the mental capacity to do any one thing. So how can all vampires, well, I guess because they're vampires would be the answer. Fair enough. All right, we will get to that in a little. Of course, we will get to the big, big storyline of the night, which would be the humanity. But we have going on with Damon and Kai is also a huge thing, especially because we find out all this stuff about Mama Salvatore in tonight's episode. Really scary stuff. So we've got Kai back. We have mixed opinions on him because he was this dirtbag, and now he's, what do we call him, a butterfly that... is a little less insane than when he was a caterpillar or something. We use some analogy.
There was a butterfly and a caterpillar and...
Yeah. Do you guys feel like every week you're trusting him a little more and more? Or ever since he merged with Luke, you trust him a bit more and now it's kind of staying there?
I will say this. This was the best part of the episode to me. And I wanted more of this and not that other crap we had to watch. I said it.
Fighting words.
I said it.
Chat's agreeing with you right now.
I don't know, but you know what? I'm gonna say what's in my heart right now. I loved the Kai stuff, and I loved learning more about Mama Salvatore because I literally had a nightmare about her after the last episode, because the way she kind of popped up in the video screen, it scared the crap out of me. So yeah, that to me is where the excitement and where I want to see this sort of season go, not to the other stuff that we're going to get to later.
But why are you saying you love the Kai storyline? So I understand loving the Mama Salvatore storyline, but what about Kai are you loving?
I love Kai because I see his internal struggle with being this new Kai. You know, he is a naturally not nice person, and now he's got that little bit of
inner voice.
Yeah, that voice inside of him. So I love watching him struggle with it because you can see him trying to fight it to be his natural self, but then you see this nice guy fighting to come out, and every so often he wins, and it's really funny and great to watch.
How are you feeling about him, Katie?
I like that too. I think it's fun to watch, but I don't know if, you know, you asked the question if I'm trusting him more and more.
Right.
I think I'm just kind of trusting him the same, which is just a tiny bit more than I used to, but I can't fully trust him. I'm in the same spot, like all of these episodes after he merged with Luke. I'm just staying the same with the trusting.
Yeah, I still don't fully believe him.
Did you feel bad for him at all tonight? Was there anything inside you thinking, ooh?
No. No, no, because those flashbacks that went through Bonnie's head, that is terrible. Like, he was tormenting her, but I have to say that it was really kind of cute watching him be, like, all nervous in front of her. I thought that was kind of funny watching that happen, which is, again, the whole, it's fun to watch him have this struggle between the two people inside of him.
And
the same person.
I realized that he did bad things to Bonnie, but seeing them all loop together like that, really, because we have a week in between each episodes, we've been off for hiatus and stuff, so in my mind, it's not as fresh, but I love that they put it together so you can see how fresh this all is to Bonnie, because I think even Damon didn't realize the extent of her trauma.
T, I couldn't agree more, because I knew that he had done stuff to her, but I was sitting there thinking, huh, I really feel like the first time they met, he did something worse to Damon, and what did he really do to her? And then I was like, oh yeah, that's what he did to her.
Yeah.
How do you forgive somebody who has strangled you, stabbed you, left you for dead,
stuck you in a trunk?
She almost killed herself because of him. That really almost happened. So how could you just forgive somebody just because they merged with somebody else and now they're supposed to be a completely different person? I don't think I would ever be able to forgive him.
And she said to Damon, she's like, I wish I could show you and make you understand how it felt to be left alone.
Yeah. Well, I had a little bit of a problem with that scene. We did get some Baymon moments tonight, and I think a lot of Baymon fans out there would be really excited, because we saw they get the phone. He does end up calling her, and she says, you know, I miss you. He misses her, and there was a sweet moment. Katie thought it was getting a little romantic, and she can talk about that in a second. But, you know, I felt like there was something. No matter how much pain you as an individual have ever been through, you never should want to inflict that kind of pain on somebody you love. And yes, he inflicted pain on her tonight by bringing Kai back, but he wasn't doing it because he wanted to. He was doing it because he was being forced to, kind of. The kind of pain she put on him was like, I'm about to put you in pain so you know how I felt. That's messed up.
I don't agree with that either. I don't think she should have shown him physically what it felt like. But I think that Bonnie's changed, and she's just going to be this darker character, and we're going to see more of this stronger, darker, more powerful Bonnie from what happened to her. And I think that's, you know, why she's doing it. I wouldn't do that though.
I don't know. I kind of feel like in a way she had a right to do what she did to Damon, just because no one's ever going to know how she feels and understand why she doesn't want to hear from Kai unless they can put themselves in her shoes. And Damon is so focused on wanting answers about his mom that he really
didn't think it
through, and he kind of put their friendship test to the line tonight by, you know, she said, I don't want to see him, I don't want to even hear his name again, and then you brought him to her. That is, like, if you're my friend, you don't do that when I say I don't want to do that. And then And in our minds, and in Damon's mind, he's been living back here already. He's been here for months now. He's re-acclimated to the world. Bonnie is still living this every day, repeated in her mind. It's like, it's almost like, you know, a victim of like a major crime they're not going to want to see that person mm-hmm. again, and no one's going to understand their struggle or what. And you can't just tell them, well, get over it. I need help for this.
Let's step back for a second, though, and talk about why Damon did what he did. So he's sitting in his living room with Kai, and Kai says, here's the deal with your mom. We find out that she was put in this world in 1908. He says
1903.
He says, how is that possible? She looked the same age as she did in 1858, and otherwise she would have looked like she was 70. He's very confused. Kai starts giving him some of the answers, and then he pulls a mean girl. He has a cold. And I literally, if I was Damon at that point, I would have like slaughtered him. I feel like it's the most annoying thing of all time. It shows that Kai still isn't a good dude. If he was a good dude, mm-hmm. he would have just told Damon what was up, but he didn't.
Right.
And instead, Kai says, if you want the information about Lily, you have to get Bonnie to see me. At that point, what is Damon supposed to do?
If he can, he tried to explain to Bonnie what he needed and what he needed from her. She said she didn't want anything to do with it. I think it's too fresh. Give her time to heal. And then the fact that he kept pressuring her and ended up showing up with him, that was the line that he crossed. If their friendship meant anything, he wants answers. She's not ready to get there. So as his friend, you have to back off and let her get there.
He should have asked her over the phone. Yes, she might have said no because of what she said to him. Basically, don't say his name again. But he should have at least given her a heads up about it instead of just, oh, hey, here he is.
Of course, what he did was selfish. Of course. It's definitely selfish. But I don't know if I would have done something different. I mean, I would like to think, like you just said, Katie, I would give her the heads up. Maybe not ask her permission because she's going to say no, but say, I'm going to do this because I need to know. So just so you know, this is happening.
Oh.
I feel bad, though. But
I'm going to try and use an analogy.
Okay.
I'm bad at analogies.
I'm kind of nervous about this.
I'm really bad at them. Excited. So
just remember
I'm
that the chat will be here at some point, and I know, they will know what you've done.
I believe that what Damon is doing to Bonnie and going to her with, you know, this whole Kai stuff is equivalent to that of someone who was, I don't know, someone whose parents were murdered by this person, and now you're having the murderer wants to apologize to you. If I'm not
so
there
like
and
the
ready,
person who killed Bruce Wayne's parents,
yes,
going.
Is now the next day in Bruce Wayne's mind
right.
is now saying, "I want to talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. I want you murdered. And as my friend, I need you to understand." The level of, like,
hatred
that I have for this person and that I'm not ready to be confronted by them.
It's so crazy because when you think about most people college age, if it's like, I do not want to see them, why don't you want to see them? Because they sent you a mean text. They wrote a Facebook comment about you. Like, they posted an ugly picture of you on Instagram that you asked them not to post. Obviously, there are real things going on. But usually when somebody says, I do not want to see them, it doesn't mean because they almost murdered you.
Yeah.
Like, that is a whole different thing. So I feel for her. I really do. But the old Bonnie, the Bonnie we used to know, would have said I will never forgive him, but I will do this for you, Damon.
Yeah, because she puts her friends first.
Right.
But the old Bonnie did not almost kill herself because of this person and wasn't stuck alone in a world for I don't even know how many days. Like, this isn't that old Bonnie.
The old Bonnie didn't come out.
Yeah, this is a completely changed person who, even when she sees Elena for the first time and Elena's like, here, cheers to you. We were all here living our life and you were stuck there. Oh, this is a horrible toast. Like, yeah. What were you guys doing? No one was mourning me. No one was, like, at all times trying to find me the way that Bonnie would have been doing for them.
Yeah.
She realizes that her friends are not the best when it comes to her.
They really did search. They really did.
I mean, they tried their
hardest.
They
thought she was gone. They, you know?
I think that they had the Bonnie and Damon back to them on the phone, and when he called her, she was obviously really excited to talk to him. I just want to talk about their flirting for a second, because I thought
You're going Bayman for a second here?
I am, because that was seriously, I just saw so much flirting with them.
All right, I will say, the first second they came on screen, it was like two lines in, and you're like, oh my god, they're flirting, and I was like, shut up, Katie. No, they're not. And then I have to say, as it went on a little bit, I felt some flirtation.
She missed him. She was happy that he was calling her at this rave. She didn't want to be there, and, you know, that's who she wanted to talk to at that moment. And I was freaking out when she called Jeremy after this whole fact of, you know, with Damon, which she showed him how she felt. I was like, okay, she obviously didn't want to call him. She told Elena why she wasn't, but she didn't want to call him a little bit in part of because Damon. I think she wanted to just see where they stood relationship friendship wise. That was going through my head. Yeah.
Really? That did not go through my Delana mind.
I love the whole Damon moment, but I still see them more as friends, and I see him as the only person at that moment who understood what she was going to. She doesn't feel like she knows the people around her. She's been gone for almost a year now and is just thrown back. She's not acclimated back into this culture, and he's the person who understands and can be there to help her, which could lead to something more, but I just wasn't really thinking immediate, like, oh my god, they're gonna go, like, screw.
I think it's the case of Bonnie maybe feeling something stirring up in her head, just like we see with Caroline and Stefan. Like, she started feeling something that grew out of their friendship, and he said he didn't realize when it changed from that moment, you know, into something romantic, but he's seeing it himself. So it's like, I feel that Bonnie has that because they've had so much alone time together, and they've grown in their friendship that she could see it going there, maybe.
I don't know, because as somebody, I have a good amount of guy friends, and I'm kind of lovey-dovey affectionate with my guy friends, and I don't think it necessarily means that I ever see a future with any of them. It's just kind of, it's a different relationship than you have with girlfriends, I feel like.
But I feel like her facial reactions when he called, when he showed up, they just showed that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I could be reading too much into it.
They were clearly trying to spin a little bit and show a little light on Damon. They were trying to do that for sure. I can't fathom us going down that path. Like, how on earth, after it took us all of this to get Delana back, are we really going to say, all right, bye, Stelena. Bye, Delana. Bayman? Really?
It also took us 5.5 years to get to a point where Damon and Bonnie could stand each other.
Right.
So I just think that it wouldn't be something that happened overnight with them.
So yeah. We've got five and a half more seasons
before that'll happen. Maybe half the time it took them originally.
There's no way by the end of this season, which by the way was just announced as May 12th, mm-hmm. I think it is, that they would be making out. Like,
no.
And what would have to happen for that to take place? I would be like, done.
I don't think that would happen that fast. I'm just saying they're throwing in some of these little, it could go that way.
The same way they did with Steriline.
Yes.
But then what about how pissed she is now at him?
That's why she called Jeremy. Oh, I can call Jeremy and let him know. Like, psychologically, in a girl's mind, I feel like that's why she did that. I could be wrong, but that's what I was thinking.
Let's talk a little bit about the Jeremy phone call. So she says, hey, hope it's, like, hi, love you, miss you, babe. Hope it's not a problem with you. I was gonna come see you and just show up at one of your classes. Thank God you didn't do that. You'd find out he was vamp hunting. I was gonna come see you show up at your class, but then I was like, I need to figure out who I am. Is that okay with you? Hope that's okay. Miss you.
Yeah, she's like, I'm different.
I'm different. Bye. Jeremy just literally almost risked his life trying to get you out of that car exhaust. He was looking for you. The only reason he ever said he would come home is if you come back. He's in love with you. Do you really think he's going to think it's okay that you're trying to figure your stuff out before he comes and sees you? If I got that phone call and I was Jeremy, I would be livid. I would call her back and I'd be like, listen, I know you've had a hard time and you've been trying to deal with your stuff, but deal with it with me because I love you and get over it. Like, they've been together for 5 years. What? I mean, not that long, because there were other dead people in between.
Is he gonna come?
That's true.
Is he gonna come back, like, for a little cameo
for weddings and funerals?
I think that the reason this voicemail happened is to explain why Jeremy isn't coming back.
Yeah, they were like, he's not a regular anymore.
Yeah, it's like, clearly we have to do something because they have to address the Jeremy situation now that he's not on the show anymore. Could they have found a different reason? Maybe. But nothing was going to come out looking great. But Bonnie does need to figure herself out, because she was walking around that party, and even before she got pissed off at Damon, or, you know, just even in the dorm room with Elena, she wasn't all there, and she's holding, like, anger in her hands, and, like, she storms out of the
flirt with her, and she burns him.
Like, she's holding on to this anger after the Kai thing and gets to the dorm and, like, throws it into a fire. Like,
what was that bottled up energy
and, like, anger? I don't know what magic she has back in her, but it's changing her. So she's right. if she doesn't want to hurt Jeremy, she should probably stay away from him right now.
It's the end of Bon Bon. She now is just Bonnie. Bonnie the intense girl.
Bonnie.
All right. The other part of this storyline, obviously, is Mama Salvatore. We did get some information about her tonight. I'm going to throw it more to this side of the table because I'm still confused on the exact logistics of what happened. Go ahead. What?
I was just going to say, I think I get it.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
You get most things, T. I'll give you that.
But I think I've tracked it down.
All
so,
right, give us the timeline, girl.
The year is 1858.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mama Salvatore dies suddenly of consumption.
Consumption.
Except, plot twist, she didn't actually die. She was changed into a vampire, runs away to Europe to go over there, freaks out, and starts killing everyone and their mom, becomes a ripper.
She's family a mother trait. Effing ripper.
Family trait. There must be a gene. I don't know. Because Stefan's a ripper, too. And see? Then, on her way back into the country in 1903, she gets to New York. She docks up. First of all, her ship, everyone's dead because she killed them all.
Yo, I kill you.
She killed them. She killed it. Yo.
But then...
The Gemini Coven comes and is like, you know what? It's our duty to stop this ripper from doing any harm. So they create this this hell world. What's it called again?
Not the other side. It's the prison world.
There we go. For her hell in 1903. But I like how Kai liked to drop in there like, oh, she was probably coming to find you, demon. But we caught her first, created this hell for her, and now she's stuck there. We're not letting her out.
Boom! Drops mic, leaves studio! Okay, so say that this is what exactly happened. Couple questions. Number one, is there a way that she is only a ripper because her humanity switch has been off for the last 200 years? Or 100 years. And
yeah,
if somehow she can find her trigger to bring her back, i.e. her kids, she could not be a ripper.
I think so.
That's where we're going with this?
Yeah, especially with Stefan's only a ripper when he's humanity off. I think that that's what happens with people with their humanity off, and that's why she's going crazy. Okay. There's got to be some kind of redeemable thing about her.
All right.
But did she automatically turn her humanity off?
I don't know.
Because if there was a decent thing about her, I feel like when you first turn to a vampire, you're not going to leave your kids if that's going to be your humanity switch.
Depends who turns you, which would be the second question. How was she turned? Who did she get turned by? Which leads to the third question. Did the dad know? And why was he cool with her running away and was like, yo, leave our kids?
He had to have known because he hated vampires so much. And I think it depends on who turned her for why she would flip her humanity that fast. But maybe she couldn't even handle, like, being a vampire and all of the emotions, you know, everything's heightened. What?
It was Klaus.
Klaus.
And then he's going to come back.
It was an original who turned her.
It would have to be at that time. Why are we thinking it was Klaus, though? What if, plot twist, it was, like, Elijah or something?
Love Elijah.
I know you do. but we sure as heck know it wasn't Rebecca.
Maybe it was Cole.
Or Finn. We got a lot of options.
We have a lot of options.
It was Freya!
Oh, maybe it was Freya.
Oh, we got so many options.
No, she can't turn.
No, she's
a witch.
She's not a vampire. I got carried away. I really got carried away.
But I think it has something to do with the original family, just with the time that it happened. And so,
most
we don't
Klaus.
Know any other vampires who date back to that
Maybe we'll
point.
Meet some.
Maybe we'll meet some new ones, but
right.
I feel like it had to have been a guy who kind of lured her, and maybe she was cheating on her husband with him or something. And
knowing she is a ripper, is Damon going to bring her back anyway?
Yes. Yeah.
Fair enough. Moving on.
because I mean, Damon, regardless of what you do, if he loves you, he's going to go all out for you. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Catherine.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like, she didn't even love him back, and he still went to the world's end
because he's the best. We
for
love
all
him.
Of her.
Yeah, that's very true. All right. No, go ahead.
Love
Katie.
You, Damon.
I was just gonna say, yeah, and I think he has some mommy, like, attachment. And not really mommy issues, but the fact that, like, he didn't speak at her funeral, even if that wasn't really her in the ground there, I think, like, he feels like he owes it to her or something.
Yeah.
It's just in Damon's nature to feel like that.
Yeah, and if he thinks his mom is a good person and that's the person that he knew from his mom, and he was old enough to know his mother and have a relationship with her at the time of her death.
Yeah, Stefan wasn't really as old.
Yeah, so I feel like he has a connection, so he's going to want to do whatever, because he's probably, he believes it, but then he doesn't actually believe it. He probably thinks that he can change her, and he can help her and make her better.
Damon can save the world.
Yeah, but first he needs to help his brother.
Yeah, well, and Bonnie, and Caroline, and a lot of other people.
Yes.
But he probably will try to tackle it all at once, and we will see how that unfolds. So that's what's going on this side of the pond. Then, elsewhere, we've been wondering about this whole Sarah storyline for quite some time now. We've had a fake Sarah, then we had the real Sarah, and we didn't even know there was a Sarah before this year. Sarah's here, and Enzo is planning some sort of attack because he hates Stefan. And he's been obsessed with Sarah and is, I think, trying to make Sarah fall in love with him a little bit or become obsessed back.
Yeah, to try to be changed into a vampire.
Right, and then try to, like, crush her that way.
Yeah.
Just seems strange to me that he wouldn't just snap her neck or something, but he doesn't. And instead, he's, like, saving people in front of her and being sexy in pictures and going over and trying to impress her. And then he drops the bomb that he's a vampire, and she's like, oh, that's all? Oh, okay, whatever. That's what I had for lunch today.
Yeah.
Like, so unimpressed. What were you guys thinking in that moment when she was just, like, didn't care at all?
Honestly, I didn't think anything of it. I was just thinking maybe this day and age, people don't question that anymore.
You're like, yeah, it's not that weird to me.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them vampires.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's like nothing. But in the moment, I didn't think of what it was. Like, it came to me later, like right before we learned that when he said it out loud to Caroline that she didn't care. I was like, oh my God, does Stefan compelled her to not care about vampires? But what was going through my mind, which is the same thing as what was going through Ivy.
Are we talking Twitter right now?
Twitter right now. She said, Sarah and Enzo's moment in the coffee shop reminded me of Twilight when Bella finds out what Edward is.
Spoiler alert.
In case
I haven't seen Twilight.
Oh, well, she knows he's a vampire.
She doesn't find out this whole time.
Yeah, but it's kind of a similar scene. They're in, like, a coffee shop. And so when they're sitting there and he's doing that, I was like, this feels so much like Twilight right now. And then they said the Twilight reference. And I was like, oh,
you know,
okay, maybe they meant for it to feel like Twilight.
Maybe they're covering their butts because they realized halfway through. Uh-huh.
Like, oh, this is like a scene from Twilight.
We copied this a little.
I mean, maybe it was the way that she reacted to it, but I didn't really feel, like, if I was sitting there personally and he was telling me the way he was telling me, I didn't feel as though I was going to be intrigued, like, turn me. He's not doing it in a good way, in my opinion.
Well, it was, the reason that I was surprised with her reaction is because she was so shocked to see him suck the blood and fix him. She's so shocked for him to move this fast. All those things surprise her, but she's not surprised that he's a vampire. If she actually knew what a vampire was, she would have put those pieces together.
Guys, if someone you were sitting across from, you're like, yo, what is with you? You do all these weird things. And he goes, I'm a vampire. Would you not start laughing in their face?
Of course.
Yeah. That's the reaction I expected from her. Because I wanted to laugh for her in this situation.
Like, no, seriously, like, what's
up? Like, no, but, okay, like, okay, that's funny, haha, seriously, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have, but she didn't, because she's been compelled. How does he know she's been compelled? Because good old trusty Caroline tells him. Oh my God, did I have the hots for Caroline in this episode? I have to say, there's something about the bad girl that she rocked. Maybe it's because we haven't seen it in 6 freaking seasons, but holy crap tonight, guys.
But she was never really like the bad girl back then. She was just this kind of like neurotic, you know, insecure
person. No,
it's
like we haven't seen it in 6 seasons. We've never seen it.
Oh, yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
not like
I
we
thought
saw
you meant
it
in the beginning. No, no, I loved it.
No,
too.
This was like rocker chick coming out. I don't even know what that twisty 90s style hair
was. It was
thing
like a boho was. Chic thing.
Yeah, it reminded me of like.
Petroleum oil. Oh, too soon?
Too
soon? My bad, guys.
Too soon. At least you're saying about Caroline now. No, it reminded me of like, almost like Now that I called her a rocker, this is going to sound really embarrassing that I'm saying this, but almost like Britney Spears. Like,
no, Britney Spears had that hair in one of her videos. Exactly. Slave for You?
Maybe? That might have been it. That might have been it. With some like tight ass thing.
I loved Caroline in this.
Oh, yeah. Like, not loved her, would want to date her or be her friend. Loved her, like, love watching this. Yeah. Love what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised that we are torn across the table about this because I think this storyline rocks. I know we've seen Stefan with his humanity off before, but we've never seen Caroline go down this path, ever. And it's so freaking awesome.
She's good at it.
The actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've seen her rock being Caroline, but this is like Caroline 2.0. Sexy Caroline. Yeah. Caroline late at night. Caroline between the sheets. Caroline gonna pin you up against the wall and suck your blood.
What you did there. I like what you did there.
I tied it back in.
Yeah, you tied it back in.
And then she's gonna flip her switch in her ear.
In her ear. Yeah. Just put her long finger in there and flip the switch.
The thing about the storyline of somebody turning it off is reused, but seeing Caroline this way isn't, and that's why it makes it good, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, what I would relate it to is alcoholism, like in a TV show of 6 seasons. Would it be possible that we would see more than one person lean on alcohol or become dependent or become an alcoholic? Absolutely. Would that be overuse? No, because in real life, that's a real problem. For vampires, turning off your humanity switch is a real problem. Mm-hmm. It's not like one in a million vamps do it. We've seen a lot of vamps do it, and it's something that, like, commonly happens, so I don't feel like it's reused.
But you don't think that someone, like, every character on that TV show isn't going to become an alcoholic at some point. Every character who is a vampire at this point is, like, slowly going down the line of, I'm going to turn off my humanity.
It's a difficult thing.
Fair point.
Which is why I think it's overused, and find a more creative outlet. If you want her to be bad, just people change. Why couldn't she just be
Bonnie?
Bonnie has changed. She didn't turn off a switch or anything. She went through a traumatic experience, and people come out of that in different ways. So let her go into her bubble. Let her go into her bubble, grieve, come out as like, this is the Caroline that don't give no Fs.
Yeah. I think it's just the thing, they have that ability to do it, and there's so much pain in the world, and their emotions are heightened. So as a vampire, if you have the ability to do it, some people are just gonna do it. A lot of people are gonna do it at some point in their life. Something's gonna trigger, you know what, I can't handle this, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the equivalent actually of becoming an alcoholic. It would be the equivalent of getting too drunk one night, which a lot of people do, but then unfortunately you can't come back from that. Like, I feel like if these people could flip the switch for a night and then flip it back off and on and off, and they were capable of when the switch was off, knowing that they wanted it to be back on, then they would do it. But, like, you make 1 second decision, and you're screwed.
Somebody's got to bring you back.
Right.
Okay, so maybe this is the part that I just don't like. I'm okay with the humanity going off. I'm sick of the struggle to get these people to turn their humanity back on.
Really?
Watching of that is so...
The struggle is real,
and it's so boring now because it's like, oh, Elena, every week is going to try. Every week is going to fail. Every week someone's life is going to be in jeopardy because of them making threats. Well, every week we're not going to see it. And then finally, 1 week, boom, it's going to happen again.
There was a couple things that I really liked about it, though. Number one, how we got him to turn it off, which was Caroline realizing, oh, my God, he's going to make me turn my switch. He got to me a little bit. What do I do? How can I stop this? I'm going to make him sink to my level, or in her mind, probably elevate him.
That's smart.
So smart. So what she does is she makes Sarah go be Liam's patient, and because what would killing Liam really do? People would be upset, and then they would get over it.
I forgot he existed.
Oh, me too. And they made a reference to that on the show. Caroline's like, oh, that boy that I forgot one time. Oh, yeah. And
when we first saw him this episode, I was like, he looks familiar. Why?
Yeah.
I like how they kind of made fun of their own show a couple times tonight with that, with, you know, going back to the whole Bonnie thing. When she first came back, she's like, yeah, I don't really know how to feel because I don't. Like,
yeah,
she's been
used
line.
To it by now. Yeah. She said, yeah.
I think it's so funny.
I love when they're self-aware. It's great. But anyway, so Liam is operating on Sarah because he's been, what is it?
Compelled.
I was going to say desensitized, but no, he's been compelled. And I thought this was a really cool setup to make Stefan flip his switch. In the moment that this was happening, you had to have known that he was going to do it. He's not going to let Sarah die, period. But the craziest part to me, and this goes out to you Stelena fans, was that he says to Elena, bring me back.
Love it.
Oh my God.
Because she can do it.
Bring me back.
Because, oh God.
All right. I thought
so. Does that mean he knows that she's the one that can do it, even though he's trying to get Caroline now?
I don't know. He called himself Caroline's emotional trigger. So that would mean to me that every person has an emotional trigger. I thought that before, the way that Stefan came back before was Lexi, right? I think that Lexi was the one who made him flip his switch back. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it was a group of people, but I think that she had to come back in order to help him. Or she did the first time and then something the second time, whatever. I don't know what that means. Everybody has one or people can have multiple. But the way that he said it made me feel like, huh, is there still Elena? Is it still her for him? It was weird. And I'm not saying I want that because you know I'm Delana, but he says, bring me back. And maybe all he meant was, make sure I come back from somebody else. But he says to her, bring me back.
But no further instructions on, hey, this is how to get me back.
Like, because, say pineapple.
Because
he had to hurry up.
Yeah, because in 2 minutes when you call me, I'm not going to give any freaks about you.
But he had to hurry. No freaks given. He only had time to say, bring me back, because he had to switch it or else Tara was going to die.
All right. This timing was very convenient this episode. Elena only gets to the bodies a minute after he already flips it. And she's got this supersonic hearing. She can't hear where they are. And then Stefan, like, come on.
I think that's why they said that she stopped screaming, because she passed out. So, you know, because if she was screaming, Elena would be able to hear it. But. Right.
But my other thing is that Caroline makes Stefan switch off his humanity, but never makes the call to stop Liam from killing Sarah.
Which is why when Elena walks in, he was still trying to kill.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care, but I'm just like, oh, so you just did this, but then you still haven't called off the dogs of...
No, she doesn't care.
Saving.
She doesn't care, and she knows he won't care once
it's off. But look, I had an easy fix for this whole Caroline humanity situation.
It's because you're brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't they just snap her neck, put her in the dungeon, tie her up, get Stefan to go in there and deep therapy her? Hey, I love you, you love me, boom, I'm back.
Or like because you said, right at the moment when he was like, gonna do it, just pretend.
Yeah.
That's what Rossi said. Okay. Here's the thing about what you just said, T. The problem is, she said, tear the heart out. She'd already said that.
But even before that, it's him and Elena versus Caroline in this bar with a bunch of wood around. Yeah. I'm just saying Stefan could have came in through the front. There could have been some sort of attack. I've seen it done before. I know she made the threat of, like, if you mess with me, I'm going to kill people and I will become your worst nightmare.
Right.
But I also think that it would have been doable to get her
but they never would have found them. The problem is they could have come in guns a-blazing, but Caroline never would have
had him compelled to tell to be truthful,
right?
So they could have found him.
No, but how are they gonna find him?
Because already told him where he was.
Her compel was stronger because she compelled him to kill her.
You could still find them to stop him from,
because she already would have been dead. It depends on what the timeline.
I had a lot of anxiety watching that.
I could see both things, but I mean, I don't know. What was my theory? What were we just talking about that I thought that she should do? That you just said?
He should pretend.
Yeah, that was my brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he just be like, okay, I flipped it?
It's all in the eyes.
I'm telling you, it's a real switch. You could see him go through the ear.
No, it's a blink because he goes like this.
Oh,
there open I up. Am.
Yeah, and she knew. Like, you could see that she could just tell how.
I love when Steph and Elena and Caroline were all in the bar for that moment, and Elena was like, it's not the right decision. I did it too. and then Caroline's, I love that you make everything, you somehow find it to make it this about you. I laughed out loud.
It's true, too. Like, I understand that Elena was trying to relate and make her stop, but at this entire show, and that's, again, about them being self-aware, it's always back to Elena, no matter what's happening, matter what. What did you guys think about the actual rave? Were you liking that scene when everybody was, like, all stressed out and they end up splitting up and wandering and everybody's, like, dancing and doing their own thing? Because I've missed our central parties on this show. We used to have, like, one party a week.
Yeah.
And I really liked seeing that we got back to the party.
I thought the costumes were great.
They were very rave-esque.
They were very rave-esque.
Yeah. Seemed fun.
I wish we were there.
Yeah.
Where was our invite to the rave? Invite me to the rave.
We're in a rave.
AfterBuzz TV rave. It's really, really cool.
Strong lights.
So at the end of this, when we do see what happens with Sarah and Liam, it seems as if Sarah's going to be okay because she's got the blood in her. And Liam's wrists are going to be very, very broken.
Oh, my God.
Like, is anybody worried about what Elena did to his arms? He
passed out from the pain of that.
Look, she had to do it.
She did.
Did she? Couldn't she have snapped, like...
She can't snap his neck.
Could you have tied him down or something? Like, why did she have to break both his wrists?
I don't know. Because he was going to... Even if he was going to keep going, if he can't use his hands, he can't kill her. But now he can't
be a surgeon.
There's physical therapy, and she can give him vampire blood, and his bones will heal just like that.
He said he wanted to be a pediatrician anyway.
Yes. So just
like, why did you gasp when I said that? Do you care about Liam? Honest question. Like, do you care about his character?
No, I kind of forgot about him while we didn't see him too, but I just, it hurts watching that.
You're just a nice
person.
The
sound effects on that were just too real.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And then we're left with these margaritas. And Stefan and Elena on the phone, and she finds out what he did, and she says, "Don't tell me you did it! Don't tell me you did it!" And he said, "Fine, I won't tell you." Gives it to Caroline. Boom. Into.
I love that shot.
I was just going to
end I'm sorry. Go.
Dramatically,
Katie.
We were dramatically going to end our predictions.
You ruined the dramatic pause.
We were trying to dramatically end our predictions, and I can't
believe it. I ruined it. I'm sorry.
I said boom into.
I'm
Didn't
sorry.
Can you catch my drift?
I mean, gosh, Katie, I don't even know.
I just loved it so much.
Okay, like, what did you love?
That was like a hot scene at the end. Oh, my God.
I didn't care when they were standing together and her humanity was off and they were at the rave and his wasn't. I was like, kiss her, kiss her.
Oh,
it'd be like such a slime ball move, but I wanted it anyway. She's so hot. And
there
he's so
is
hot.
Like tension between them.
Yeah.
Well, now that they both have their humanity off.
You're into it. Now that they what?
Both have their humanity off. Yeah. I think that things can just be like rougher and hotter
and I didn't
nastier.
I really like. Oh, I don't know how to feel about Stefan. You know, being the Ripper, but I kind of think he's sexy when he's the Ripper.
Well, we'll see what happens when Stefan's mom comes back and the two of them have to compete for number one Ripper.
Oh,
like they're gonna rip into each other. Okay, so what do you guys think about the fact that we see in previews for next week we're getting some sexy time with Steriline, but then they seem to turn on each other somehow? Katie, you were thinking it was a swerve maybe, and they were trying to steer us in a different direction.
I feel like it might be they're playing around. You know, and kind of joking about this is what I would do to help bring you back or something and laughing about that.
What do you think, Tay, about the two of them? You think that they're really going to go south quickly or you think they'll be a power couple?
I don't think there'll be a power couple.
Power couple?
I don't even think that they'll be able to be in a relationship with both of their humanities off.
Yeah.
Because they both just don't give.
Isn't that like the best relationship that there could be?
They're going to have some hot sex, but at the end of the day, they might actually try to kill each other too because...
Yeah.
What they love about each other, there's also equal things that they hate about each other that's escalated because they don't have humanity, so they're
uncensored. Do you think maybe that scene that they were kind of fighting and he's like, make me want to kill you type thing, that was real arguing?
Maybe. I don't know. I was more focused on like what is going to happen with their mom.
Yeah.
Like, that's where my mind was. Like, and I want everyone to know, like, I still love this show and I think it's great. And I thought Caroline was hot as hell. Yeah, she was hot as hell as Caroline with no humanity. I just didn't want to see the storyline. But I think my prediction is that maybe they will send the two of them to 1903 since they're both, like, wild and out right now.
They're going to send them there?
I think that they would put them...
That's so mean.
But that's a way to get rid of them if they're both not going to have their humanity on. And, like, if they start getting out of control, hey, we have this whole other thing to use as a weapon. We don't have to lock you up in chains in the dungeon of the Salvatore Mansion.
Yeah, but can
we can just
back?
Send you to 1903. As long as Kai has the Ascendant, which he's the leader of the Gemini Coven... So he should
not
be able to
long.
Send people there and get people out if he so pleases.
Okay, Katie, predictions?
What if they sent them to, they made a new world and sent them to like 2015?
Because we found out there was only two of them.
But they created a new one, the Gemini Coven.
I don't know. We'll see. I wonder what that would do. I just am nervous if the two of them go into their own place, they'll both end up dead. somehow stabbing each other with like a double-edged sword. But we'll have to wait. Honestly, we have next week, and then we go on another hiatus. CW, you're killing me. I need this show on air.
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, the only thing helping out is that at least now that we have Vampire Diaries and our spinoff originals, and we do have a little twice-a-week action going on. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we never do this, but because it is the three of us who host the originals also, we have to plug our original show this week because your mind will be blown. By Donald Romain, our other co-host, who gave the greatest prediction of all time. So go check out our originals after.
And it's in the middle of the episode, so don't just jump to the end where we do predictions, because his prediction comes like, mm-hmm. what, 20 minutes into our recap or something?
And if you're not watching originals and you love Vampire Diaries, of course, as the spinoff, you should be watching because it is amazing. So but more about this show, if you want to talk to us throughout the week, Tiana, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
Love it. It's a singing night. Totally. I'm with you.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell, and Instagram at Katie Campbell 13.
The song is really good. And you can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at AfterBuzzTV, AfterBuzzTV.com. Make sure if you are tweeting at us, use the hashtag ABTVTVD. We love you guys so much. Thank you for talking with us tonight. And as always, on iTunes, on YouTube, and we will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.